Waymaker, miracle worker, promise keeper, light in the darkness. My God, that is who you are. Hallelujah. 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 Not just some of the time, but all the time. Hallelujah. When I feel it and when I don't feel it. When I see it and when I don't see it. Hey, yes, yes. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Glory. Hallelujah. Miracle worker, promise keeper, light in the darkness. My God, that is who you are. Hallelujah. 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 Sunday school this morning, we were talking about the manifest presence of God. We know God is everywhere at all times, but then there are times when he just lets you know, I'm here. I'm in the house. And the other morning when we were in here praying, hallelujah, at some point, one of the people here saw the angels of God begin to line up. As we were praying over these prayer requests, I'm telling you, God is doing something with these. All these people's names y'all got up here. I read so many names the other day. I said, Lord, you know, I don't know all these people, but you know them. They just put names on that and didn't say what they wanted. So I said, but you know what? You know the cry. You know the cry. You know the cry of every heart. You know the things that we cry and the things we don't know to cry. Do it. Do it. Do it, Jesus. Hallelujah. 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 Myrna, stand up. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Can you say everything? Say everything. Everything. Everything that God has ever spoken concerning you, concerning your household, concerning your family, the ones who live there and the ones who don't live there. Can you say everything? Say it till you believe it. Everything. Baby, I got your picture sitting in my office, and every time I look over there at you, I remember the things that he said concerning you way back when. Nothing has changed. Hallelujah. 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 greater is he that is in me than he that is in the world. Now you say it. Say, greater is he that is in me than he that is in the world. 1 John 4:4 says, no matter what the challenge, no matter what things you're encountering in life, no matter what things are going on, no matter what things have not happened and the things that still need to happen, absolutely nothing is greater than he that lives in you than he that lives in the world. Say, greater is he that lives in me than he that is in the world. Leslie said this morning, since the leadership conference, she said, I've been being challenged. All of the things that have been coming to distract me, they seem to be trying to creep back up on me. She said, but I ain't going down like that. Greater is he that is in the world. Now in me. Correct that. Greater is he that is in me than he that is in the world. See, we have got to grasp, we have got to get that he that lives in me is greater than he that is in the world, because the world is ever going to challenge us. Old things are going to try to creep back into our lives. Old things are going to try to pull us back rather than us going forward. And see, when those things start to happen, when the challenges come, you got to remember, greater is he that is in me than he that is in the world. I heard this preacher tell this story about going on a safari. And as they were on the safari, they were seeing all these different animals in their natural habitat. And one thing that the person wanted to do was see a lion in his natural habitat. And that was what I wanted the time that I went on a safari. I thought, why don't we see a lion? And finally, we saw a big fella sitting over there under the tree. That was good enough for me. We didn't need him moving. But I just wanted to see big fella, you know, because his roar would make me go on myself. So anyway, it's like I just wanted to see big fella. So anyway, they were, you know, kind of wanting to see a lion, and they hadn't seen one. They'd seen everybody else, but they hadn't seen the lion. And then they saw an impala that was standing still in that one spot. And so they asked the guide, why is that impala standing there? And he said, because he sees the lion. And the lion was right there. And then they saw the lion too. And he said, but the problem with him is that he's been paralyzed by fear of the power that's in that lion and what that lion can do to him. But he's twice as fast as the lion when he runs. In other words, if he start off, the lion can't catch him. He's not going to be dinner today if he can get over the fear, if he can get past the thing that has paralyzed him in that spot. He won't be dinner today, because the lion can't catch him, and the lion knows that. Come on. Satan, no, he ain't got nothing over on you. But he been roaring. And he's not a lion. He's been acting like he can do something to you. And because you've been falling prey to it, he's been getting away with it. The greater one lives where? The greater one lives where? Those words were written to the church. Those words was written to the church, not the world, not just the preacher. Those words were written to the church. Everybody sitting in here today who is saved, the greater one lives in you. There's nothing more than you. There's nothing bigger than you. But far too often, we act like there's nothing I can do when I see something bigger than me. Or there's something coming at me in such a way that it overwhelms me. It may overwhelm you, but it's not greater than the one who lives in you. You're the greater one because of who lives in you. Now, if the Spirit of God didn't live in you, you wouldn't be the greater one. But because he does live in you, now you can do things that are beyond your strength. You can do things beyond your ability because the one who is more powerful lives in you. I should say the one who is most powerful. Let me put it like this. The one who is all powerful lives in you. And he is not challenged by the things that challenge us. God doesn't see anything hard about getting your situation turned around. You're the only one who's looking at it like, ooh, this is hard. But God doesn't see anything hard about what's going on with you. As a matter of fact, oh, my goodness. Oh, my goodness. He just waiting on you to see it, too. God wants us to see what he sees. Can you hear what I'm saying? The impala can get away. But he's so terrified by what the lion can do that he doesn't realize that if he just go run, he's not going to be dinner today. You don't have to be dinner today. You don't have to be dinner today because the greater one lives in you. Jesus told us when he was preparing himself to go to his crucifixion, he told us. I started to change that. He told his disciples, but anybody who was a disciple, he's talking to you. He said, he told those that were standing with him that day, he said, listen, he said, I'm going away, but the Father is going to send you another comforter. He's going to send you someone who will not only be with you, but he's going to live in you. See, up to that time, the only thing they knew about the Holy Ghost is that he came on the prophet, he came on the priest, he came on the king, but he didn't live with the common folk every day. And Jesus is telling them, listen, he's going to live with you, the common folk. And see, we keep acting like it's just for the preacher. It's just for the teacher. But the Holy Ghost moving and having his being is for the believer every life. You are one powerful somebody sitting up in here. You want water walking somebody sitting up in here today. You can pray over the little boy's lunch and it'll multiply with your Holy Ghost inhabited self. Who lives in you? Oh, y'all don't even know. The Holy Ghost lives in you. Who lives in you? And he has empowered you to do the very things that you see Jesus doing. Joshua prayed under the old covenant before Jesus. He prayed and the sun stood still for 24 hours. It says for about 24 hours. Science says that we're missing about 24 hours of time. God made the sun stand still at a man's prayer so that he could finish fighting his battle in the daylight. Y'all not even hearing me. God will do whatever it takes to bring to pass the miracle in your life. Promise keeper, miracle worker, my God, that is who you are. I believe God wants us to get that. We stand right here. God wants us to get that. Why? Because all these folks y'all got up here, you need God to move on some's lives, to get rid of drugs, get rid of all kinds of things. Can you hear what I'm saying? Promiscuity. Can you hear what I'm saying? Brokenness. It's in the house. It's on the table. And God wants to do it all. Can you hear what I'm saying? Hallelujah. 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 Hallelujah.
Glory to God. Glory to God. Glory to God. Jesus said the Holy Spirit is going to come and he's going to live within you. He's going to give you the power that you need to do these things that I'm commanding you to do. He's going to give you the power to be sanctified. He's going to give you the power to be holy. He's going to give you the power to be healed from your brokenness. The Holy Ghost is going to do all of that. Can you hear what I'm saying? He's going to restore families. The Holy Ghost is going to do that. He's going to go beyond your head. And he's going to make things start to happen. Huh? You got in your mind one thing you want to happen, but God sees another thing. I was praying for Will the other day, girl. I know God's going to do something with Will. You need to give God a shout. Hallelujah. Holy Ghost. He said he's the Spirit of truth, and he's going to come and he's going to teach you everything that you need to understand. He's going to show you the way that you don't know. Waymaker, miracle worker, promise keeper. Ah. He's going to come and he's going to show you how to get from one place to the other. He's going to show you the glory that is yours in Christ Jesus. He's going to show you that you are more than your tests and trials. He's going to show you that you can do what you could not do before. He's going to show you. Not just some folk, everybody who believes him. In Acts chapter 12, one day, the saints were praying. See, God says the effectual, fervent prayer of a righteous man maketh much power available. What kind of power? Miracle working power. Y'all remember we were praying for Jody's daddy? That the doctors wanted them to give up on, wanted them to pull the plug on him. And Jody kept saying, no, God's going to raise him up. The man walking today. You understand what I'm saying? He's a miracle worker. He's a promise keeper. You can hold on to what he said, even if you don't see it for years and years and years. You can know this, because I don't see it yet, that means I got to wait just a little bit longer. When you plant the garden, you can taste the tomatoes. When you plant the garden, you know them good old collard greens, especially this time of year, when the frost hit them. Oh, my goodness. That frost hit them collard greens. Oh, now they too tender. They just roll right on down. Glory. You can taste them while you're planting them, though. Can you hear what I'm saying? Got to start tasting this thing. Got to start jumping for joy about this thing before you actually have the experience. Acts chapter 12, Herod wanted to vex the church. He wanted to afflict them. He wanted to get on their nerves. He wanted to be a problem to the church. And so he had James killed, the brother of John. And when he saw that the Jews were pleased, then he grabbed Peter. He thought, oh, I'm having fun now. Let me grab Peter. Wrong one. God's not done with Peter yet. Are you hearing what I'm saying? See, if God's not done with your happy self, God's not done with you. Oh, it's not time for you to go anywhere. It's not time for you. Are you hearing me? God's not done with Peter. You grabbed the wrong one. Waymaker, miracle worker, promise keeper, light in the darkness. My God, that is who you are.
Hey.
And watch this. And when he had apprehended, verse 4, him, he put him in prison and delivered him to four quaternions. I don't care if I can't pronounce it. I know what it means. It means he gave him 16 soldiers to guard him. Now, you must be skirt. You must be skirt because you gave 16 soldiers, 16 armed men to protect one man who has no weapons. Y'all not even paying attention. There must be something going on with Peter. There must be something going on with him that he thinks he needs 16 men to protect one unarmed man. And he's putting him back in a dungeon. You're putting him inside a rock. Why you need 16 men? I told you the devil know better than you do. That you coming up out of here. We need to get it. Gave him 16 men. I may not be able to pronounce it, but I know he got 16 soldiers to keep him, intending after Easter to bring him forth to the people. Peter, therefore, was kept in prison, but prayer, say prayer, was made without ceasing of the church unto God for him. Notice they prayed without ceasing. People want you to pray one little prayer and say, now begin to thank God. The Bible says pray without ceasing. There are instances when the prayer is more than bless them, Lord. Let me help you. There are times when the prayer is, God, we need you to move. It's more than that. There are times when we need to come before God and pray without ceasing about matters. Well, you know I pray. Well, pray again. Some folks say you ain't got no faith because you pray twice. My Bible says they pray without ceasing. I don't see some of this stuff they've been teaching folk. God said, pray and keep on praying. Some things you have to pray about till you get past yourself, get past the demons, and get to that place where there's been an open way made for that prayer to be answered. Every situation is not the same. There are some things going to take more than you getting down and say, bless them today, Lord. No. Turn their hearts around today, Lord. Invade that thing in their heart, Lord God, that makes them go astray. Show me, Lord God, how to call it out to you. You stay there till God gives you what you need to see about it. The Bible said they prayed. And that means they petitioned God until they touched the heart of God, till they touched the will of God. Come on. Because see, sometimes you're praying for one reason and God wants to do it for another reason. And God needs to straighten out your motive. If he's knocking you upside the head, you just want him to quit. God wants to change him till he don't want to hit you no more. Oh God, don't let him hit me no more. No, change him. I told you this before, I'm going to tell it again. This one girl said, her husband beat her up every night. He drove her out of bed every night. Beat her up every night. One night she said, God, when he come here and drag me out tonight, I'm going to kill him. And so she said, I'm just telling you because you said to acknowledge you in all of my ways. And if he come in here and he hit me tonight, I am killing him. And so, the cry of her heart, maybe the words of her mouth were not exactly right. But listen to me, the cry of her heart, she had finally said, God, change this situation. Come on, you need the whole thing changed. Father, I need a change here. Come on. I don't need you to just fix this little thing over here. I need a change. I need a major turnaround. Some folks in here need a major turnaround. She need a major turnaround. So she laid down. When he came in that night, he went to throw the cover back the way he always did to pull out the bed. But this time he said, he covered her back up, took his drunk self around on his side of the bed, laid down. He didn't hit her no more. We don't know what Jesus did. I don't need to explain it. All I need to know is he didn't do it anymore. You hear what I'm saying? God will stop it. Cut it off. Because he the way maker. Because he the miracle worker. Because he the promise keeper. And he promised that the very gates of hell would not prevail against the church. So you don't have any weapon, Satan. You have nothing to bring me down. Because Jesus is the promise keeper. You hear what I'm saying? They prayed. And watch what's happened while they praying. Let's just read it. And when Herod would have brought him forth, the same night Peter was sleeping between two soldiers, bound with two chains. Y'all got to see, this man is chained. And the keepers before the door kept the prison. He got people on either side of him. Look at this. He got chains. And then you got keepers at the door. If I get away from these two right here, somebody at the door. There's only one way out, and it's past the folk at the door, and they are armed. What I'm saying is, it's not so tight. It's not so hard that God can't bring you out of it past everything that's trying to hold you back. The enemy doesn't have a scheme. He doesn't have a plan. He doesn't have anything so strong that it'll stop you when the presence of God is at work in your life. And behold, the angel of the Lord came upon him, and light shined in the prison. The angels done came in and turned the light on. You know, they lit up with the light of God's glory. I don't mean they flipped the switch. They came in and they brought the light. I don't know why I didn't wake them other two peoples up, except I know that sometimes in the presence of God, you can't move. Even if you want to, there are times when God will manifest himself in such a way that you can't move. You can't be doing what you think you want to do. Walking in the side of the church one day in Texas, I had been running the revival. We coming in the side door. Pastor saying, girl, what you think the Lord going to do today? What he going to do to top what he did this week? Oh, my goodness, the Lord has really moved. And as soon as he got through talking, the two men walking on the stage that were praying, they started spinning around. They fell down. The pastor walked up onto stage. He started spinning around till he came down on the other side, and then he fell in front of the stage. And then the rest of us started falling off our chairs. He wanted to know how God was going to top himself. So we all started falling off of our chairs. Nobody could get up. Everybody who came in the door over here got to a certain place, and they fell. Nobody fell on anybody. Nobody got hurt. Everybody coming in the door just fall. Children too. Even people like Chase and Caitlin would have had to fall. That'd be wonderful to see them fall, wouldn't it? Don't y'all throw me under the bus. And it's like everybody coming through the doors fell. For the next hour, nobody moved. Wonder how God gonna top himself. And somebody over in the corner started crying. I'm healed. I'm healed. This was after we done laid there for an hour. We didn't know how long it had been at the time, because we're just there. We're suspended in his presence. So we don't know it. I can tell you now was an hour, but while I was there, laying there, I can't tell you how long it was. And then I heard somebody crying, "I'm healed, I'm healed." And somebody else was crying, they were healed. And folks were getting healed all over the place. People were getting deliverance all over the place. Ain't nobody preached nothing. Ain't nobody laid hands on nobody. Ain't nobody sung a song. Ain't nobody danced across the front. It was just God showing us, "I'm God, I'm sovereign. I can do it any way I choose." Oh, God, help us to expect you to be God. Then when we finally all got up and folks were giving their testimonies, Pastor leaned on me, he said, "You preaching?" I said, "I'm not crazy. God already did everything he won't do in here. I ain't getting up trying to talk behind that. He didn't give me nothing to say. I know he didn't give me nothing to say because I'm still scared." I know he didn't give me anything to do. Then we thought, well, at least we can take up tithes and offerings. And so they came up, the two people with the offering buckets, and they fell, but their buckets stayed up like this. So we just walked on by and put our money in there. Anybody hearing me in here today? He can do anything he want to do. You can't put them in chains and give them 16 soldiers and keep them. Not if God says you're coming out. You don't have anything going on with you that's as big as the one who lives in you. And behold, the angel of the Lord came upon him, and a light shined in the prison, and he smote Peter on the side and raised him up, saying, "Arise up quickly." And his chains fell from his hands. When he touched him, he started to get up. As you start to move at the voice of God, as you start to move at the thing that God said to you, the chains fall. The thing that's holding you has to let go. But you got to move in obedience to what he said. You can't sit there and know what he said and then not move in obedience. You got to respond, "Yes, Lord." You got to do, "Yes, Lord." It's one thing to consent. It's one thing to say, "Yes, Lord." But it's another thing to do, "Yes, Lord." You hear what I'm saying? Sitting on the front row. God had been dealing with about a year to leave my job. I kept saying, "I'm going to wait till I retire. And got but 2.5 more years and I can take early retirement." You work for the federal government, you work 30 years, no matter how old you are, you can retire. And so I just had 2.5 more years. So I make these 2.5 more years. I'm good, so I'm not leaving my job. I'm staying on my job, going to my good government job every day. And so one night I'm sitting in Illinois, I'm up in Zion, Illinois, sitting in a church service. The whole place just hushed. Can't hear nothing. You can't hear nothing. And I'm sitting on this seat right here, and Jesus is standing right here. Jesus is standing right here. And he's talking to me. And I'm thinking everybody can hear this. Can't nobody hear but me. And then he walked over me, put his hand on my head, and he said, "And I'll go with you." I knew what he was saying. I knew I had to leave that job. I knew I had work to do in the kingdom. And I wasn't going to be able to do it at the VA Medical Center. You hear what I'm saying? And I had all kinds of debt. This ain't no time to be leaving your job. You don't know where you're going. I didn't know where I was going. Folks wasn't calling me like that. They called me early 9 a.m. for a women's meeting. They wasn't calling me like that. And then when they call you, they give you $100. That ain't paying them bills. Y'all don't even want to play fair. I'm talking about the natural man, how dumb we'll get. Rather than looking at the greater one, God will feed you without folk. God will clothe you without folk. You don't hear what I'm saying. You won't even know why you're still eating. And needing to go on a diet. You won't even know. You hear what I'm saying? You hear what I'm saying? And when I told him yes, I got a phone call. Said, can you come run a revival? And then ran a revival in my life. Didn't even know the person calling me. Somebody in Alton. I don't know you, but I'm sure coming over there. Phone never stopped ringing. Here's what if you obey him, the chains fall. Because of your obedience, not because you got strength enough to break them. But your obedience will set you free from whatever's been holding you. What are you being held by and you haven't obeyed God in? Well, tell the truth and shame the devil. Let me hurry up here. The chains fell. And the angel said unto him, gird thyself and bind on thy sandals. And so he did. He gave him instruction. God's not just going to set you free and don't have instructions for you. Come on. And he saith unto him, cast thy garment about thee and follow me. Go where? Follow me. He don't know where to go. And right now he thinks he's in a daze. He don't even think it's happening for real. Come on here. And when he went out and he followed him and wist not that it was true, which was done by the angel, but thought he saw a vision. Peter don't even know this happening to him for real. When they went past the first and the second ward, they came unto the iron gate that leadeth them unto the city, which opened to them of his own accord. The gate just opened because here come God and here come God, man, and the angel. The gate just opened. Come on, somebody. And they went out and passed through one street, and forthwith the angel departed from him. And when Peter was come to himself, he said, now I know of a surety that the Lord hath sent his angel and hath delivered me out of the hand of Herod and from all the expectation of the people of the Jews. In other words, the devil not killing me today because God set me free. I remember sitting at work one night crying out to God because of a situation that was going on in my life. I was tired of the folk that were doing it, and it was just crazy. And it was in the early days when I first got saved, and it was like, God, I want to say something. I want to do something. And it was like, I got this. And so while I'm sitting at work that night, I'm crying out to God, and I'm just feeling really bad because they had just done me really bad. And so, I love Jesus. And so the next day I'm in the park, and I'm up in that pavilion in Forest Park, and I'm standing there because there are these people over there singing and praising God. And so I got up and walked off of the picnic grounds and went over there where they were, and I took my Bible over there with me. And this man come, and he came, and he stood right beside me. He had on dark brown pants and a white t-shirt, and he tapped me on this shoulder and he said, can I see your Bible? I looked in his eyes. I can't tell you what I saw. I was captivated. I thought, just hand him my Bible. I didn't question this. I didn't do anything. I just gave him my Bible, and he turned to the scriptures that said, bless those who despitefully use you and curse. Yes, he did. He said, vengeance is mine, saith the Lord. He turned to that scripture. He turned to three scriptures on me, and he just ran his finger across them. He didn't read them out loud. He just ran his finger across them. And then he gave me my Bible back. He closed my Bible and handed it back to me. And then he walked away. And then suddenly I realized, who was that and how did he know? And so I went to catch up with him, and already he's all over here. Way over here somewhere. And so I'm yelling at him, how did you know? And he just smiled and he walked away. God was telling me, I got this. I got this. Waymaker, promise keeper,
Light in the darkness.
And so that night when we're leaving the park, because, you know, we stay till you can't picnic no more. Back in them days, y'all do everything indoors now. But we stayed at the park till you couldn't picnic no more. We stayed with the mosquitoes and everything. Next day, we just happy we had something to wipe on us. And so we're going out of the park, and right where you get on 70 going east, he's standing there with a suitcase, and he's waving at our car. I believe it was an angel of the Lord. How did he know where I was? How did he know what car I was in? Come on, church. God's got angels on assignment for your life. You don't have to do anything but obey God. Huh? While the saints are at a prayer meeting, I'm going to get back to the prayer meeting in a minute, but I want you to see what's happening while they over there praying. While they over there praying, God is working it out. That's what I'm trying to tell you. What I'm trying to tell you is those folk that we need to see come in. God's bringing them in while you're praying. Key here is you're still praying. You're not fussing. You're not complaining. Two family members. I don't know which one you fussing about. Two family members just keep on doing stuff. I'm talking about this family. Two family members, they just keep on doing the same thing. And we just keep on doing what we know we're supposed to do. But we've been fussing while we're doing it. Say it again.
Murmuring and complaining.
Yeah, girl. Yeah. Murmuring and complaining. Fussing while I'm doing it. Just the other day, I was just fussing. Came over here to pray. And God said, why don't you pray for him now? Excuse me. But I'm still want to fuss. See, you still want to fuss when God telling you to pray. He's saying pray. Murmuring and complaining is not going to change your soul. No soul is going to be saved. Why are you murmuring and complaining? They need to be saved out of what they're in. They need to be saved out of that place where they find themselves. Me complaining about it not going to help. Me fussing about it not going to help. So one of my children came in the house yesterday. Mama, what I know do? What I know do? Because I'm mad again, I said. Nothing. You're going to have to do like he told me. Can I fuss just a little while? It ain't going to do you no good. Go ahead. But it ain't going to do you no good. Say what you got to say. But when you get through fussing, they're going to still be the same. And they're going to still need the same change. And while you praying for that change, watch this. He changing you. You busy looking over there and you being changed too. Because he's teaching you how to shut up unless you're praying up. I'm helping me too, girl. Because I done fussed almost all week about them two people. I came here and sat down the other day. But why don't you just pray for them? What? You want me to pray? Yeah. I didn't even put them on the table. They need to be on the table too. See, I'm praying for everybody else on the table. I need to put them on the table. I'll put them on before I leave here today.
Amen.
He said, pray. And so here's what I'm showing you. While they are praying, God is bringing the deliverance that they're praying for. He's setting the one free that needs to be free while you're praying. Thank you, Jesus. Stop complaining. Stop fussing. Have you noticed it ain't done nothing but made you more miserable? Wait a minute. Ain't that's That's the last time. You should have seen me. That's the last time. Did you hear me? Did you hear me? Oh, Jesus. Now watch this. Watch this. While they are praying, God is setting Peter free, and Peter don't even know what's happening to them. While God is moving on your prayers, these folks that you got on this table up here, they don't even know why some of them changing their mind about some stuff right now. Some of them want to do something different right now. They don't know what yet because they still in a daze, but when they come out of it, they're going to realize that God is moving. They're going to realize God is moving. I hope somebody in here can hear this today. I'm trying to hear it too. And when he had considered the thing, he came to the house of Mary, the mother of John, whose surname was Mark, because he done figured out what happened to him now, okay? Where many were gathered together praying. There's that word again. And as Peter knocked at the door of the gate, a damsel came to hearken named Rhoda. And when she knew Peter's voice, she opened not the gate for gladness, but ran in and told how Peter stood before the gate. The poor man can't get in. And they said unto her, thou art mad, but you praying and asking God, now you say the girl crazy. And they said unto her, thou art mad, but she constantly affirmed that it was even so. Then they said, it is his angel. They still don't believe Peter is at the door. God will move on your prayers and you still think you need to. He's already answered the prayer and you don't believe that he. You know why you don't believe it? Because you don't believe that the greater one. You don't believe. You sing that he's the miracle worker. You say that he's the way maker. You say that he's the promise keeper. But do we believe it? Ooh. Ooh. But Peter continued to knock. I'm so glad the brother didn't turn and go away. But Peter continued knocking, and when they had opened the door and saw him, they were astonished. What? You mean God heard us? You mean God would hear us here, transform a word? You mean God would answer that prayer and break those chains that have been there for so long we can't even call how long they've been there? Do you believe that God will turn this situation around? You never had enough money to make ends meet. And not only now the ends meeting, but you got something to share with somebody. Come on in here, somebody. Are you hearing what I'm saying in here today? Huh? You never did think anything good would happen to you because every time you got to one place, something bad would come along. But now God is showing you that I'm taking you from glory to glory. You just never dreamed that you could go from glory to glory. My God, are you serious? Are you serious? Yes. From glory to glory. Because he promised. And here's what I want you to see. The Holy Ghost was there working the whole time. The Holy Ghost was working the whole time. Can you hear me? God dispatched angels. Can you look at all of this work that's going on for you? Oh God, if we could see in the spirit. It was like the prophet said, open his eyes, God, so that he can see that they that are for us are more than they that are against us. Huh? The servant saw this huge army coming and knew that there was nothing he and the prophet could do. But the prophet was so confident in God till he said, open his eyes so he can see that they that are for us are more than they that are against us. And he saw this whole host of angels. My God, who in here today with us? Who's in here to help us today? Who was on that highway this morning to help? Who? Who? Yes, he was there and he's here now. And he wants to manifest himself in your life. Come on. Say, the greater one lives in me. Where does the greater one live?
In me.
Oh, my God. If we get this today, I'm going to tell you, we'll be a formidable force. We'll be a formidable force. Nothing will stop us. You know, sometimes you have to talk to yourself the way David did. I'm getting ready to quit here. But David used to talk to himself. He said, look, mine, we're not thinking that today. What we're going to think is that God is almighty. What we're going to think now is God is my help. God is my rock. God is my dwelling place. He's my safe place. We are not going to think about those that are coming against us. We're not going to think about the weakness that we have in ourselves. We're going to think about the God who is covering me, the God who is in me, the God who makes me overcome, the God who causes me to run through a troop and leap over a wall. That's the God that's with me, the God who inclines his ear when I call on him. He hears me from wherever I am. That's what we're going to remember. That's what we're going to remember. Hallelujah. That's what we're going to remember. Hallelujah. I want you to come to this altar. Hallelujah. I want you to come to this altar and begin to cry out to God. Hallelujah. Right now, I want you to come to this altar. Bring your prayer request in your heart. In your heart. If you got one you need, put on a piece of paper, do it. But come and bring your prayer requests in your heart. We're going to do like we used to do in the Baptist church. Everybody came to the altar. Hallelujah. So nobody got missed. Nobody got missed. We used to all come to the altar. We had one prayer for everybody. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. When we came to the altar, we didn't know what to expect, but I promise you, God, he answered prayers. God answers prayers. God is in here today. He's in here today. He's in here today. He's in here today. Hallelujah. He used to come to the altar. We used to sing. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. We used to sing Amazing Grace. How sweet the sound. I bet y'all can't sing it right now.